for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say good morning to everybody. Welcome into His presence. I want to very sincerely appreciate God's servant for this opportunity. Dr. Adeleke, God bless you and thank you so much. And all the pastors, all the leadership, the board, and every person, thank you for having me to have this meeting with you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Glory to our God. Precious Father, we thank you for yet another privilege to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, to learn of you. Lord, we are asking that the Holy Spirit, our great teacher, will teach us. Open our hearts to understand. Open our eyes to behold. Open our mouth to declare. Let there be utterance. Let there be inspiration. Let there be understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, our team, the House of Prayer, and I mentioned yesterday that the morning session, we have more of a kind of leadership flavor to this matter of the House of Prayer. Today, I want to continue in that line with the leadership. And my main subject would be, if I'm permitted to give a title, Be Watchful. Be Watchful. Let me ask, how many of us here this morning, you know that you are a leader? Let me see your hand up. Okay, praise God. Thank you. Oh, I didn't look at my back. Okay, praise God. Some people raise their hand like this. Some people raise their hand like this. We mentioned yesterday, if you are a child of God, you carry the seed of greatness. Amen. If you are a child of God, Jesus Christ is in your life. In fact, the life you live is not your own. It's His own. And He is a leader. Amen. I say, if you are a child of God, you have been made a priest, you have been made a king. That's leadership. If you are a child of God, you are light. Light is leadership. It guides. It directs. It shows the way. Am I correct? If everywhere is dark and I have a torchlight, what happened?
It's the torchlight that guides me. Am I right?
Yes, light. It gives guidance, it gives direction. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So it doesn't matter your sight or height. If you are a child of God, you are a leader to this world. You are supposed to be an example to this world. People are supposed to learn from you because you carry the glory of God, the life of heaven, the supernatural, and the natural is supposed always to learn from the supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, every one of us here, we are all leaders by the mercies of God. And for some of us, you might not be yet manifested. But the things we hear, they are seed that we have to manifest you tomorrow. Amen. So let's all open our heart and know that whatever we are sharing is for all of us. Okay. Doesn't matter your title, whether you are titled or untitled. We are all leaders before him. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So we're still looking at the leadership responsibilities to the house of prayer. And our emphasis today is being watchful, watchfulness. To be watchful means to be fully observant, vigilant, or to be aware. To be observant, to be vigilant, to be aware. In Isaiah 62 verse 6, Isaiah 62 verse 6, the Bible says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So God says, I have set watchmen over thy walls, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like a type of the church. So if God did to the symbol of the church, then it also means that today he has watchmen that he has set over the church. Watchmen were stationed at the city gates, right? And they were stationed in watchtowers, high towers. And they stayed there at the city gate so they can see afar off in order to detect any invasion by marauders, invaders, thieves, to avoid any kind of unwanted guest into the city. So watchmen were there. The moment they see any movement that is suspicious, they alert the guards. They alert the king. Praise the Lord. So they watch to ensure that marauders don't steal their ways into the city. That was the duty of watchmen. And when God says, I have set watchmen over thy walls, those who can see beyond others, those who can see far ahead of others, and when they see anything, they report to the king, all right? So that action will be taken to forestall any form of invasion. So as a leader, God has set you over his people and his church. His people and his house. So you are a leader over somebody. If you are a child of God, you might not be a pastor, you might not be a deacon, but you are a child of God. You are expected to be a leader. You can influence someone. There should be somebody close by you that you watch over and ensure that person grows. That's the principle of discipleship. If you are a child of God, you are supposed to be a discipler. There's somebody that you watch over his soul, her soul, to make sure she grows, he grows, and to become all that God wants him to be. And not just that, you are also a watch man over the house of God. God has committed his house into your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So today we want to look at the need to be watchful over the house of prayer. That's our focus. The need to be watchful over the house of prayer. So let's go back again to our text, Matthew 21 verse 13. Matthew 21. The Bible says, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, from Sunday, we laid a foundation on what the house of prayer is. What God referred to as my house. And we said it could be a congregation like this, a church. In those days was the temple, the tabernacle, the synagogue. It's my house. That's what God called it. And he said it must be a place of prayer. So as a leader, as a believer, God has set you as a watchman over your church. If you belong to a church, you are a watchman over that church. God says that church has been established by him to be what? A house of prayer. So you are a watchman to have an oversight over the church by prayer. God expects you to watch over the church by prayer. Ensure that the church is what it was meant to be. And what's that? The house of prayer. Praise the Lord. We've said again and again that Satan will attack prayer in the church, which is the corporate altar. And that's why God is saying he has set you as a watchman. Don't just assume that the church will pray. Don't just assume that the church will do what God expects it to do. No. Because there is an orchestration from hell to ensure the church do not do what is expected to do. Like Jesus showed us in that passage. When he stepped in there, he discovered that the church was not what he expected. It was not what God ordained it to be. If it was so then, it is still so today. So God is saying, if this place is called the house of prayer, don't just assume that there will be prayer in this house. Now we have said before, if it is not a house of prayer, it will become dens of thieves. So God is saying, I have set you as watchman. Again, we said, the house of prayer is not just this building. It's not just this congregation. The house of prayer is you. Because you are the house of God, the temple of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is your personal altar. When we come together to pray, it's a corporate altar. And God expects the aroma of this altar before him. You also, you are a house. And your prayer is the personal altar. And God expects the aroma of your life, of your prayer, of your praise to rise to him. And so we are saying today that God expects you to watch over your personal altar. If not, it will not be a house of prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, so why is all this important? Number one, the enemy is out to turn the house of prayer into den of thieves. Jesus walked in there and was angry. And said, this place is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into what? Den of thieves. I pray that the Holy Spirit will make us to be conscious of this fact. We said on Sunday that people who are criminally minded, they are always on alert and watchful to look for any opportunity when you are not alert and watchful, and they can get in there and steal. Am I correct? I know in those days in Port Harcourt, there are people they used to call pickpocketers. Do they do that in Lagos? Do they pickpocket? There was one time, I was young then, I was in a, you know, commuter, I was in a bus, you know, and I sat down there, there was another road behind me. Then I started having some feeling, you know, behind me. I make my buttocks like this. The thing will go. Before I know it, I have a feeling again. I make my hand like this. I didn't know somebody's hand was in my pocket to pull out my wallet. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
The guy was sitting behind me. Anytime I shake, she will remove his hand. When he think I've forgotten, she then I put my hand. I caught his hand inside my pocket. I said, "Oh boy, what's that?" He said, sorry. Criminally minded people out, watch out. And for you to stop them, you must watch out. If you are not watchful, you will not realize when the house will be turned into a den of thieves. We mentioned on Sunday that people didn't sit down and say, "Oh, from today, let's turn this house into a den of thieves." No, they did not even realize because they were not watchful. And the proof is this. Many houses of prayer has been turned into den of thieves today. Many. There are many people who have no capacity for prayer. They can't pray. But that does not mean that their lives are empty. Their lives have been filled with other things. God expects us to carry Him, carry grace, carry unction. If you let these things leak out, other things will enter and will take possession of the house.
Praise the Lord.
There are people in church that have been in church for years. If you call them out to come and pray, they will stammer like a stammerer. Did you hear me? But in their normal life, you see them talk, you will be amazed the way they talk. Why is it that when you want to pray, it's like NEPA takes light? You are flat. You stammer. It doesn't flow. You tottle. But when you are doing other things, it flows. It only shows the grace of prayer is not there. If the grace of prayer is not there, other things may be there. Are we together? Do you know there are some Christians, even though they can't pray well, if you trigger them and they get angry, you will be amazed the kind of venom that will flow out of them. I'm not sure you heard me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Have you ever seen a Holy Ghost tongue talker get angry before? Sometimes you will be shocked, you will be ashamed. Why is that so? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hello. Do you know it is the fire that reveals the serpent? You didn't get that. Paul had a shipwreck. And then they came to the island of Malta. It was winter. They were cold. And the Bible says he went and gathered what? Some sticks put inside fire. As the sticks entered into the fire, what happened? A serpent, a viper, crawled out around his hand. Now listen. When he gathered them, they all look like stick. They all look like wood. Nobody discovered the serpent. When that wood entered into the fire, the serpent could not contain it. It came out. Do you understand? Hello. There are a lot of God's children that have the serpent on the inside. They can sing beautifully in the choir. I don't mean you are choir. They can sing beautifully and dance beautifully. They can even pray beautifully until set them on fire. Put them under pressure.
provoke them.
And you will be shocked what will come out of them.
Are you hearing me? Hello. This same temple that cannot carry the virtue of prayer, for many of us, a door has been opened and it carries so many other virtues. This same temple that is not a house of prayer has become a den for other things. Jesus says, you have turned the house of the Lord into den of thieves. And we are saying, if the fire of prayer is not on your soul, so many things will creep in there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, be watchful over your own life. You know, there are some people who have some things that is not right. And when you point to them, you say, well, that's my personality. Well, that is me. Well, and they explain it away. When you do that, you are not being watchful over the house of prayer. Because those are the things that will terminate the grace and the oil of prayer in your life. Every seed depends on the environment to prosper. If you allow an atmosphere that will cause the seeds of Satan to prosper, it will prosper in your life. And there are many people who are not hard on themselves. There are many people, they know there are some issues in their life that is not good enough, but they've not been hard on it. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I now live is not mine. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Everything that is not of God must die in us to give God space and give God room and give God's spirit room to operate in our lives. Praise the Lord. So be watchful over your soul. If you want to be a house of prayer, there are some things you can't allow. It will leak out the grace of prayer. It doesn't matter how many times hands are laid on you, but you will notice you can't sustain the grace. You can be in an atmosphere where God is moving and something is dropped into your life, but give it 1 week, it's drained out. Why? Because of the things that you allow. Be watchful over the house. Be watchful over the house. Your house, your life is the house of prayer. You can't just behave like any person else. You can't just talk like any person else. You can't just do what any person else is doing. Be watchful over your life. Don't waste it. Don't do anything that will make the Holy Ghost to be grieved. Grieve not the Spirit. So, for the house of prayer to become the house of prayer and not den of thieves, we must be watchful. Be a leader over yourself. And then secondly, as a leader, God expects you to be a leader over someone. Be in a place where God can show you things about people, can reveal things about people, so you can do what? You can watch over their lives. You can stop the oppression of the enemy. You can terminate the works of the enemy over their lives. You remember what Jesus did to Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. You know, Jesus called him and said, Simon, Simon, the devil have desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus was like a watchman over that house. Peter was a house of prayer. Every brother, every sister is a house of prayer. And we are saying this morning, for the house of prayer to remain a house of prayer, leadership must be watchful. God must give us eyes to see. Shall set you as watchmen over Jerusalem. And the essence is to watch and detect any manipulation or maneuvering of the enemy and alert it so it can be forestalled. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, while you are expected to be watchful over your life, you are also expected to be watchful over your brother and your sister. And we emphasized that quite a bit. And we said, there are people who cannot stand unless you bend for them. Bend your knees unless you pray for them. There are people who cannot stand the arrows, the trials, the onslaught of the enemy unless you pray for them. Be watchful. Glory to God. And then finally, be watchful over the house. As a leader, let God show you things so the enemy cannot enter and have a field day. While you're watchful over individuals and watchful over your own soul, be watchful over the house. The Bible says, Elisha would always send a message to the king of Israel and say, don't go that way, don't go that way, because the king of Syria is coming against you that way. And the Bible says, again and again and again, every plan of the king of Syria was aborted. And one day the king of Syria called all his men and said, tell me who among you is on the side of Israel. Because none of our battle strategies ever work. And somebody said, oh king, we are all loyal. But there's a man in Israel, and his name is Elisha. You say, even the thing you say in your bedroom, he hears all the way in Samaria. Elisha can pick the plans and the strategy of the enemy, and before it manifests, it is aborted. That was a watchman. That's what God expects us to be in the church. Every plan and strategy of the enemy against the house, God expects us to pick it before it manifests and abort it. May that grace come upon your life. I say, may that grace come upon your life. The plan of the enemy will not see the light of the day. The Lord will show it to you. The Lord will reveal it to you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. You remember Moses was in the presence of God, and God said to Moses, your people has fallen away. Your people have... And Moses said, no. He said, now they have turned to worship other gods. Moses knew it before he came down. God showed it to him. God revealed it to him. So God is saying, for this house to become the house of prayer, he is willing to partner with you, show you things before they happen. Show you the plans, the things that the enemy have conceived, whatever the enemy is pregnant with, and you will send arrows of prayer to bring about miscarriage, to bring about abortion of every satanic agenda against the church. Can I hear a big amen? Glory to God. All right. So that's number one. Number two. There is an ill wind of prayerlessness that is blowing around. Prayerlessness. in wind of prayerlessness that is blowing across the church today. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about your local assembly, I'm talking about generally. Many have time for everything except prayer. Every one of us. Many times you ask people, how is your prayer life? We thank God. We are just trusting the Lord. What is the problem? No time. And the thing that is more curious to me is that people who pray for God's blessings, people who pray for one blessing or the other, the moment the blessing comes, one of the things the blessing attack is their prayer time. When business begins to blow up, you won't have time anymore for prayer. Are you hearing me? That women will pray for the gift of children. And the moment the children come, there will be no time for prayer. And many always tell me, is these children? They won't let me pray. Is these children? No, they won't let me pray. The challenge is real. For you women, you understand what it is. It's challenging. You need them to pray. They are climbing your head. They are pulling your hair. Am I correct? But they are the blessings we ask God for. And many times in the place of prayer. But the challenge is when the blessings come, we don't know how to manage the blessing and the altar that produced the blessing. And the gimmicks of Satan is that we have excusable excuses. But before God, they are inexcusable. We have reasonable reasons why we do not pray. But the Bible says, the blessings of God maketh rich and add no sorrow. The blessings of God is not supposed to diminish us before God. The blessings of God is not supposed to drain our spiritual life. The blessings of God is supposed to enhance us. Praise the Lord. We must watch out for it. Watch out for anything that wants to diminish your time of prayer. No matter how good it is, watch out. Because before God, it might not be an excuse. But the serious matter is, it is an agenda of the enemy to turn the house of prayer into a den of thieves. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. The Bible says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. This was Samuel. This was Samuel speaking to Israel. He says, not praying for the people that were under his watch was sin against God. Now that makes me curious. If I'm not praying for you and I'm expected to pray for you, that would have been sinning against you. That would have been harming you. That would have been withdrawing what is good and meant for you. So it could have been sinning against you. But Samuel said, it is sinning against God. And I'm asking myself, why? Why is not praying for the people a sin against God? And it just dawned on me that every person is the house of prayer, the house of God. And when, as leaders, we fail to pray for the people, we make them vulnerable. We expose them to the enemy. And the enemy have access into that house and turn the house of God into war, a den of thieves. And Samuel says, it's a sin against God. Prayerlessness is a sin against God. When you don't pray for the people, you don't pray for that person, you allow his soul to be invaded by the marauders. You allow his soul to be vulnerable for the thieves to enter and station and erect their structures. But notice, prayerlessness is sabotage against the law. Prayerlessness is like collaborating with the enemy. To have a field day in the house of God. If we fail to pray for this house, Satan will have access and we turn the house into what? A den of thieves. So my failure to pray before God is like collaborating with the enemy. The enemy is able to do what he intends to do. Why? Because as a child of God, you have been equipped by God with everything to do what? To stop the enemy. And as a soldier that have been armed, well armed, and you are not using your armory, you are not using your weapon against the enemy, that is sabotage. Are we together? Hello? Psalms 78 verse 9. Psalms 78 verse 9. The Bible says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. Notice that. The children of Ephraim, being armed, turn back with all the armories on the day of battle. So what's that? That's sabotage. That's giving the enemy a field day without resistance. And notice, if you are a child of God, notice, you are armed with the name of Jesus against the enemy. You are armed with the blood of Jesus against the enemy. You are armed with the Holy Spirit against the enemy. Hello. There are many of us here filled with the Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues, but we can't find 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to pray for the church. Jesus came around and said, what? Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? And I may be completely wrong. I always feel that the least that God expects you to pray is 1 hour. The Bible talks about the hour of prayer. What? Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Imagine what it will look like if every one of us will spend 1 hour to pray for the church. The devil knows he can't stand it. He knows he can't stand it. And he will do everything to ensure it doesn't happen. Are you hearing me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Imagine what will happen if God gives you a soul to raise, to mentor, to disciple, and you choose to pray 1 hour every day for that person. Imagine what will happen in his life. And the devil knows he can't handle him. So what do you do? He will make sure you don't do it. Hello? Did you hear me? Okay. Can we make a trial? Can we an experiment? Can we decide to have an experiment? Can we do that? Can you resolve in your heart
right here before the Lord. Think of somebody that God has placed under your watch and say, I'm going to pray for this person 1 hour every day. I give you 1 month. If you are able to be consistent, you will see what will happen in that person's life. Did you hear me? But you see, you are going to notice how difficult it is. There are some of us here, we can make up our mind and say, well, I don't have time for 8 o'clock news. I don't have time. Okay, thank God, channel is 10 o'clock. I will watch channel. Are you hearing me? And there are some of us who watch channel from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and then we can go and sleep. And we can do that every day. Am I right? Say yes, very well now. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. I'm saying, for any other thing, you can make that resolve and you can keep to it. But when it comes to prayer, you will see how difficult it is. Do you understand me? The simple reason is because the devil is threatened by such resolution. He can't stand the firepower that will come from that. And he will fight it. And that's why we're where we are today. Service your own house of prayer. Service. Do you know that many of us cannot even service our own altar? Hello? Did you hear me? Listen, in the Old Testament, the Bible says the fire must not go out. And one of the ways to ensure the fire doesn't go out is to service the fire. Right? In Leviticus chapter 6, he said that the priest will put on his garment and he will go there and remove the ashes and will take it outside the tabernacle. Because you know what? The greatest enemy of the fire is the what? The product of the fire. Can I say that again? We are all crying, let the fire fall, let the fire fall. The greatest enemy of fire is the product of fire. And ashes is a product of fire. And ashes will put out the fire if you don't know how to put out the ashes. Are you listening to me? Okay. It doesn't seem as if you understand. You know the man Samson? He was so anointed, right? And when you carry the anointing, that is like the fire. The anointing produces ashes that can put out the fire. If you don't know how to service the anointing. Are you listening to me? See, look at Samson. Because of the anointing and the power on him, one thing about fire is that fire catches attention, draws attention. If a building is on fire now, everybody's attention will be there. Am I correct? When the fire sat upon them at the upper room, businesses were disrupted in Jerusalem. Everybody's attention was towards the fire. There was no poster, there was no announcement, there was no advertisement. But thousands gather. Fire is attractive. So if God put your soul on fire, set your life on fire, place the anointing on your fire, it will draw attention to you. Before you know it, you will be a celebrity. Before you know it, people will talk about you. Before you know it, everybody wants to see you. Are you hearing me? What's that? Those are the ashes. And if you don't know how to handle the glory that comes from the fire, the popularity that comes from the fire, the attention that comes from the fire, that alone will put out your fire. Am I talking to somebody? Glory to God. I say glory to God. So I'm trying to say, God is saying you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And because you are a temple, you have an altar.
And if you don't know how to service your altar, the fire on the altar will be put out. And many of us have been to prayer meeting, hands have been laid on us, but we've not been able to sustain the fire because we don't know how to service our altar. Glory to God. Let me explain this way. When we come to pray and we are binding the devil, we are praying for God's intervention, we are praying for people, we are praying for people. You know what you are doing? You are releasing the energy. You are releasing the power. That is a kind of service. You are servicing all others. Something goes out of you to bring about that miracle. Something goes out of you to bring about that healing. Something goes out of you to bring about that blessing. Something is draining out. Are you hearing me? If you continue that way, you will do what? You will be flat. Did you get that? Now, it's like you are using your vehicle, huh? And you have a full tank, and you keep driving and driving. As you drive, what happens? It goes down. And if you keep driving without servicing, you will run dry. And there are people who have experienced dryness in the place of prayer. Am I talking? Did you hear me? You experience dryness in the place of prayer. It means the tank is empty. It means you are not servicing the tank. So prayer that you are praying does not mean you are ministering to yourself. Sometimes you are praying, you are ministering to others. You are releasing the energy. You are releasing the grace. You are releasing the oil. And so it drains you. Hello? Hello? We're talking about ensuring that your house of prayer do not become den of thieves. And that's how we're also saying, you see somebody who is speaking in tongues and somebody who is praying and somebody who is prophesying, and when you check out his life, there are things that will shock you because the person doesn't take time to service his own altar and is ministering to other altars. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I may talk about this more, maybe tomorrow, if I have time. I'm feeling I should talk on the prayer life of the minister. Okay? Because you need to understand that you need... See, should I talk about that one tomorrow? Maybe I will. Because as a minister of God, you minister to two directions. Right? First, you minister to God and you minister for God. They are two different things. Ministering to God is different from ministering for God. Hello. You see what I'm doing now? By the mercies of God, I stand here and speaking for. I'm ministering for. What I've ministered to you, I'm ministering for God. If anything happens in your life, it is God. It's attributed to God. Am I correct? Right. But that does not mean ministering to God. What I'm doing now is not ministering to God. And my life and my strength and my servicing comes through ministering to Him. Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let me see how it goes. Let's see how the Lord will guide us. But the point I'm saying is, you need to watch over your own personal altar. Amen? Because if you don't watch over your personal altar, your fire will die out. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So while you watch over others, make sure you watch over yourself. You watch over other people's house of prayer by ensuring the devil don't take advantage of their life. Watch over your own altar, because you are also the house of prayer. Be a leader over yourself. Praise God. Because the air wind of Satan is blowing. Satan will do anything to discourage and to frustrate you in the place of prayer. You know, sometimes I don't know what happens to you. And sometimes people will tell you, look, 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 all this prayer is too much. Prayer is not everything. No. I don't know why they said that to you. Huh? Sometimes you be in church, and you discuss something and you want to raise, you know, the structures of prayer. You say, no. Every time prayer. Prayer is not everything. No. Prayer is not everything. I don't know why you experience such things. They are very common. They are all arrows, darts, sent from the enemy to do what? To discourage and to frustrate you. That's it. Me, that I know, I am asking God for grace to pray. I know that I have not even been able to pray as heaven will want me to pray. Somebody is telling me, you are praying too much. Are you hearing me? Somebody is telling me I'm praying too much. When I know in me that I've not even prayed. Here I tell the devil, I say, if you have trial, if you have temptation, go look for it. Because this one is kindergarten. This one we don't make before. I don't know. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. Are you sure you're understanding me? Have they accused you of praying too much or talking too much of prayer? Just know that that's just the devil's strategy to discourage you. But the Lord will give us wisdom to be on top of it all. In the name of Jesus. So watch against every form of satanic manipulation to slow down your prayer life, to discourage your prayer life, to hinder your prayer life. Watch against it. Every plan and wisdom of Satan to diminish your prayer life, watch against it. Every plan and wisdom of Satan to diminish the prayer life of the church, watch against it as a leader. We must be strong and make the main thing the main thing. We must not measure on the minor and minor on the major. It's a satanic manipulation. Praise the Lord. And I'm saying to you, it happens by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. What year is this? 24. By the mercies of God, by October, I will be 53 years in the Lord. And grace has kept me. And I have been passionate. I have been involved. God, at my early age, gave me the grace for prayer. So what I'm talking to you about is not theory. This is an experience. Anyone that have been involved in the prayer grace will tell you about the onslaught of Satan against prayer. From very highly respected quarters. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? People you hold very highly, they will discourage you. It's not them. And the truth is, they don't see what you see. They don't feel what you feel. The truth is, the Bible says, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So if God, by his mercy, stirs up your spirit for prayer, stirs up your spirit to pray, don't quench the spirit. Glory to God. I remember growing up, one of the greatest antagonists of my prayer was my mother. He was my mother. You say, I don't know where you get this kind of prayer from. Have you forgotten? I am the one that took you to church. I am the one that taught you to pray. You know? I will kneel down like this to pray. He will go through the back door, my window, and she will be watching me pray. I won't even know. When I open my eyes, I see her. You will see her face is like 6 o'clock, straight.
She's so angry. Are you hearing me? But later on, that whole scenario changed. So I come and say, "Mommy, are you enjoying the prayer now? You know, are you not the one that used it?" He said, "Go away. I didn't know now. I didn't know. I didn't know now." So what I'm trying to say is that if anybody is resisting your passion for prayer, that person is not against you. There is a spirit that is trying to discourage you. That person might be innocent of the action he's taking. Do you understand? So you don't get offended. It's your own test. It's not the person's test. It's your test to see how fervent you are, how strong you are, how determined, how intentional, how deliberate you are in what you believe that God has called you to do. That's what qualifies you to be a minister. Paul said to Timothy, "Be strong in the grace." He said, "My son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." You got to be strong. If you are wobbling and feebling, then you disqualify yourself. Heaven cannot depend on you. Heaven cannot lay weighty issues upon your shoulder. Hello. The Bible says Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. Do you know why? You know why he could not see Jesus? Because he was too short. Everybody was taller than him. He was too short. And if you remain that short in the spirit, and people's opinion are taller than you, you can't see the Lord. Did you hear me? If people's opinion are taller than your conviction, you can't see the Lord. And you will look for all kinds of sycamore tree to climb. But God does not approve a sycamore tree. Did you hear me? False height. God does not approve it. There are people who are empty. But because by the mercy of God, God has given them a place in church and they hold one position or hold one title, when they come, that's all they live by. They call them daddy, they call them mommy because of the title. So that becomes their sycamore tree that they are climbing to be relevant in church. Don't you know I am the pastor? Don't you know I'm a deacon? Don't you know? That's what they brag about. It's a sycamore tree. They are empty. Are you hearing me? Did you hear me? Forgive me for digressing. Why am I saying all that? I don't know. Forgive me. But at least you've heard it. Have you heard it? Have you heard it? Grow tall. Don't let people's opinion be taller than your conviction. Where God is taking you. So when Jesus came under that sycamore, what did Jesus say? He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Take your height." No false height before God. Be whom you are, so that God can elevate you. You know what he said? He said, "Today shall you eat with me." Glory to God. And the people who were taller than Zacchaeus, they followed Zacchaeus to Zacchaeus' house. And Jesus ate with Zacchaeus. We have his name here. We don't have the names of those taller people. Glory to God. 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 Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Karabasa, karabasakaya. I sense, listen, that there are destinies here. I sense destiny is here. Oh, Rokandolobo Sapaya. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I sense destiny is here. And may I say to you, there are heights that God wants to take you to. There are heights that God wants to take you to. And God wants you to be deliberate and decisive and keep him your focus. And he will take you there. He will take you there. He will take you there. I see very rough paths. Rough. Your pathway to greatness might be rough. I see very rough paths. Rough. I say rough. But if you hold on to God, you will say true. Go and ask David. It couldn't have been easy. Ask Joseph. It couldn't have been easy. Ask Daniel. It couldn't have been easy. But God took them through. May God take you through. May God take you through. My God, I don't know whom I'm talking to, but I pray today that something will come upon your life. A mantle will come upon your soul. The strength of the Lord will come upon your life. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will enable you. The Lord will see you through. The Lord will see you through. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say this to you. I said there is an ill wind against prayer that is blowing. And God is raising you up as a leader over his house to ensure that what happened, that thieves will not take the position in the house. Let me just show you a little bit. The early church, to my mind, is the modeled house of God. When God says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Like we have learned before, most of what we have in the Old Testament were symbols. They were types. They were pointing to the New Testament. And the New Testament were where God began the corporate house of prayer. And the early church is a model. And God wants us to learn from the early church. Glory to God. So watch out, for the modern day church is far departure from the early church. A far departure from the early church. And when we are talking about maintaining the house of prayer, let's pattern it towards the early church. I just give you a few instances. Number one, the modern day church leadership is too busy to pray. They expect members to come for prayer meetings. But most modern day church leaders don't attend prayer meetings. Ikoyi Church might be different. But at least my experience in so many churches, I discovered that leadership, those in leadership, are too busy for prayer meetings. Did you hear me? And I'm talking to you because you are a leader. And we need to understand this strategy of the devil so we can abort it. As I talk to you, I talk to myself. Too busy to attend prayer meeting. I don't say that you don't pray in your house. I don't say that you don't pray. But I'm talking about the corporate altar. The corporate altar. Many leaders are too busy to attend. Make sure it doesn't happen in your life. In Acts chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That was 3 p.m. So it was a prayer meeting at 3 p.m. Apostle John, these were leaders. And they went from wherever they were, came all the way to the temple to attend an afternoon prayer meeting. That's what we should learn from. Hello? Do you understand? That's what we should learn from. I face that challenge every day. It's time for the afternoon prayer, and I'm busy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm occupied. What do? I got to deliver myself. Got to wait. Dr. Shegu, God bless you. I appreciate the testimony Dr. James gave about you. God bless you. May the grace increase. You know, I don't know what your experience is. See, when I am praying, sometimes I have a notepad and a pen by me. Because when I'm praying, suddenly I will remember things I ought to have done that I have not done. And something say, why don't you do it before you forget? I'll just write it down and continue my prayer. You remember somebody you've been planning to call, huh? And you kept forgetting. That's the time you remember. And somebody say, why don't you call before you forget? I will just write it down and continue my prayer. I don't know why you're understanding me. Maybe your own demon is more gentle than my own. Because the devil is doing everything to make sure I don't pray. That's the time very important calls will come. If you cannot put your phone on silent, put it on what? Airplane mode. Because Satan will bring very relevant things to disrupt. Do you know prayer is God or the Holy Spirit operates in you? Do you know that? I mean real prayer. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us. And the devil knows that. And when the oil is flowing, he wants to cut off the oil. Anytime you disrupt that flow and go back to do what you think is important, listen, it will take you time to pick up again. I'm not sure you understand. Have you ever seen a plane take off? It harnesses energy, right? To defeat the force of gravity and to pick up. And it flies to a height that they will now say, you can lose your belt. Huh? Uh-huh. You can walk around. They can share food. But time of taking off, everybody sit tight. You know why? It's contending against an opposing force. And sometime in prayer, you go through that experience. And something like that, so sometimes you start with singing, you start with praise, you start with everything. It's the engine. You are like a computer. You are booting. So you can take off. And when God has helped you, you get to a place where the flight is smooth. That's when the devil will now come. Oh, that uncle that I've been calling you. Oh, this. If you obey the enemy and abort that flow, many times it's difficult to get back to that point. Are we together? I'm saying there is an ill wind against prayer. And it's against every one of us. So don't be too busy for prayer meeting. Plan it into your schedule. If Peter, if John, we go for prayer meetings in church. Why? Because they were servicing the corporate altar. Give it time. That's how grace comes. That's how God blesses us. God, he sees the sacrifices you make. Everything you let go to pray, God sees it. And he's a rewarder. And the Bible says, a laborer is worthy of his wages. Are you hearing me? If you make a sacrifice just to pray, you let go things just to pray, God sees it. And the Bible says he is a rewarder. He will reward you. Even though we don't pray for reward, it's a privilege. But he's a good God. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, modern day church leaders talk more and pray less. Talk more and pray less. Remember, many times in our council meeting, we raise a point like this. People will talk and talk and talk and talk. One meeting we can spend 4 hours. And we have never spent 4 hours in prayer meeting. Call for a prayer meeting of 4 hours. Leaders won't come. Because they are too busy.
But when we come for meeting, they can spend 4 hours talking.
The way you are looking at me, I think you people are so blessed in this church. You don't have that kind of experience. You are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Because what I'm saying looks so strange to you. May that grace of help that you have continue upon your life in Jesus' name. But what I'm telling you is a common thing, modern day churches. And you will notice that people who talk so much are the people who pray so less. But look at the early church. The early church leaders, they talk less and pray more. Are you hearing me? I don't like the way you are looking at me. So when I'm saying things like this, I'm not just saying to you, I'm also saying to me. Because by the mercy of God, in my own little way, I am in a place of leadership. So I'm preaching to myself. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. There was a challenge in the church. We know the story. The problem between the Hebrew women and the Greek women. And look at the way the early church leadership handled it. Verse 4. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. And what? The ministry of the world. They just raised wisdom pillars to deal with the issue and turn their attention to prayer. If it were us, we say, come on, bring all those women. Bring them. Don't you people know that you are sisters? How did this one happen? Okay, who started it? Oh, Lucy, so you are the one that started. So, Angelina, why did you even say? And they will talk for 5 hours and the problem will not be resolved. So there are things the devil set up in church to steal away our time so that the altar of prayer will be abandoned. Leadership must be discerning. It's not everything that we can get ourselves involved in. If not, the time of prayer will be stolen from us. So they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. So they raise men, lay hands on them, grant them impartation of the spirit of wisdom to deal with the issue while they went praying for them. Leadership is a responsibility. And you are a leader, you are a target of hell. If you are a leader, because some of us, God has blessed us and placed us in very prominent places and given us prominent voices. When we stand up to speak, people respect our opinion. Get ready, you are a target of Satan. And Satan will say, if I can get you, if I can get him, I will get many people. You are a person of influence. Be humbled before God. You are a person of influence. Humble yourself before God. Spend time in his presence. Because you will be a target of the enemy. Because if the devil can get you, he knows how many. They say when you fell a big tree in the forest, so many small trees fall along with it. So don't use your platform of mercy that God has given to you to just talk. Talk less, pray more. Glory to God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Nothing we experience today is new. Even in the early church. When you read Acts chapter 16, chapter 15, the council in Jerusalem. Do you see the talking that was there? Media, give us Acts chapter 15. Give us Acts chapter 15. Let me show you something. Okay. And certain men, we came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Go on. And when
Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through. Okay, go on to verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Okay, go on. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now notice, these Pharisees were believers. And this is called the council. So they were in leadership. Am I correct? And they said, and then the New Testament has not been written. The only Bible they had was the Old Testament. And they were saying this thing from the Old Testament. Are you hearing me? So they have a good ground for their argument. Now, go on. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Now go on. And when there had been much disputing. Did you get that? When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren. All right, I'm stopping there. Now, all I'm trying to say is that the disputing that we have in church, in council meeting, is not new. It's been there in Bible times. Are you hearing me? And it will always be there. Because the devil was there then and the devil is here now. Hello? And the people who were disputing, they have good reasons. And they got their reasons from the then scriptures. So people with good opinion, we insist on their opinion. Right? And that is the more reason leaders should pray. If you notice in this scripture, much disputing suggests that so many people talk. Am I correct? But we don't know their names. The Holy Spirit could not record their name or even what they said. A man from the altar, from the presence of God, stood up and spoke, Peter. And what his name was recorded, what he said was recorded. James stood up and spoke. His name was recorded, what he said was recorded. But all those disputing was a trash. But the Bible left us an evidence that there will always be disputings. And I'm saying, the reason I'm saying this is that it's a responsibility on leadership to pray so we can be connected to the fountain of wisdom. If not, this honorable platform that God gave you as a leader, the devil can use it against the church and against God. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. You didn't tell me about time today. I passed the time. Oh my God. I'm just in the middle of what I have for you. Are you people just opening your mouth and enjoying the thing and you didn't tell me that I'm against it? I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me just mention one thing. Just one. Praise God. I call it polluting the atmosphere of the house. We are talking about servicing the house of God. Polluting the atmosphere of the house. That's another strategy of Satan. So another strategy of Satan to reduce the potency of the house of prayer is by polluting her atmosphere. How does he do it? He uses strife. He uses disagreement of all kinds to kill the atmosphere. Now, you find that in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. We know the story.
about the confusion about the Grecian women and the, what do you call them? The Hebrew women, okay? The way they served the food, and the Grecians were neglected. Now listen, friends. Just know that at all time, like we have said, the devil is like a thief and is looking for every loophole to have entrance. As a leader, you must be a person of integrity. As a leader, you must be a person of character. Don't give the devil any opportunity to have his way. Are you hearing me? Integrity and character will close the door against the enemy. Why should there be favoritism, partiality in the church? Why? But you see, the people who were doing that, they have their reasons for doing it. But one day they did not know is the door they've opened for the enemy. And it was Satan's strategy to kill the revival. In many places, especially when it comes to food and welfare, that's when these things happen. Food. In the church, in the wilderness, food, what to eat, what to drink, was what killed so many people in the wilderness. It killed so many. It does that in church. Welfare and welfare packages. All kinds of grumbling and all kinds of talking. A leader must be above board. A leader must be a person of character and integrity. In some cultures in the world, they call it racism. Like if you get to America because you have black and white, they call it racism. Maybe the black will prefer the black against the white, or the white prefer the white against. In Nigeria, we call it, what do we call it here? Tribalism. Okay? He is Igbo. He is Yoruba. He is Hausa. Are you hearing me? They are all doorways for Satan to enter. And the Bible is telling us that in Christ we are one. Neither Phoebe nor male. Neither Jew nor Greek. That's what the Bible says. Neither Jew nor Greek. We are one in Christ. So why is it that during serving of food, we now have Jew and we now have Greek? Are you hearing me? Talk to me now. Yes. In Christ, there is neither Yoruba nor Igbo nor Hausa nor whatever. But when it's time to favor, then we become Hausa, we become Igbo, we become Yoruba, we become Ijo. It's a level of immaturity. It's a level of carnality that opens the door to the devil. Hello? So when that matter arose, that was a big problem, because the game of Satan was to bring all that kind of dispute, strife. If there's anything that kills a revival and kills a servant of God, it's strife. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24, it says, a servant of God must not strive. Only about four places in the New Testament you see that word must. Must. You must be born again. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship him. Must worship him. And the other must is that you must not strive. You know what that means? No reason. No excuse. There's no excuse you can give for strife. You can't hold a bitterness and a grudge against somebody because the person held bitterness and grudge against you. You will sink. It will drain you. You are a leaky vessel. There's nothing that kills a servant of God as strife. And the devil knows that, and he will send it to you. Did you hear me? You are not striving with anybody, but somebody will strive with you. You are not offending anybody, but somebody will offend you. Why? He's looking for a doorway. To do what? To pollute the atmosphere of the house of God. And that's why Jesus said, if you come to the altar to make an ox sacrifice and you remember somebody has an ought, not that you have an ought against somebody, but somebody has an ought against you, leave your offering. He's saying you are not qualified to go for that. Go and do what? Settle it.
You're not qualified to come near the altar with any form of grudge or bitterness in your life. It disqualifies you. Jesus said, leave it there. It doesn't matter what you brought. God is not interested. Because what God is interested in is the smoke that comes from the altar of your soul. That's what God is interested in. The kind of fragrance, the kind of aroma. And when this healed air and atmosphere have access into your spirit, you know what it does? It pollutes the atmosphere of the altar of your soul. And everything that rises up, God rejects. Cain came to offer to the Lord. And the Bible said the Lord rejected Cain and his offering. The man first before his prayer. If God rejects you, your prayer is rejected. It doesn't matter what you are praying about. If God rejects you, sisters, if God rejects you, your worship is rejected. It doesn't matter the lyrics. And the devil knows that. He said, God rejected Cain and his prayer. See, that is two components. The prayer is component, is different from the man. The word and is what? It's a conjunction between two objects. Is that correct? So it means that when you pray, it's not just your prayer that goes to heaven, sister. But you and your prayer goes to heaven. And if you are rejected, your prayer can't end there. If you are accepted, your prayer. The Bible says, and God accept who? Abel. And so the man goes before his prayer. Are you hearing me? And the devil knows that very well. So when you are not ready to fight with anybody, somebody will bring fight. In Nigeria, we call it domot. It will bring fight to your house. You know why? The reason is the house of prayer. The reason is the altar. He wants the altar to be polluted. So it doesn't matter you are 40 days fast. If you are polluted, your altar is polluted. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Sorry, I can't go further. But I want us to know, God holds you in high premium. Hey, God, everything is waiting for the aroma from your altar. And the devil is scared about that. He doesn't want your aroma to be sweet enough for the Lord to accept both you and him. But the word of God is that enlightenment. The word is a light. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And that's why, you know, those who understand this principle, when you offend them, they will be the one to come and apologize. People will apologize to you, the offender. They won't wait for you to come and apologize. You know why? It's because they are protecting the house. They are protecting their altar. There are some people who are offended. I say, please forgive her. I say, okay. If he comes to apologize, I will forgive her. You do not understand who you are. And the devil will make sure they don't come to apologize. So that you remain rejected with your prayer. Are you with me? But when you understand, you will be the one to apologize for the offense you did not commit. That's what the Bible says. Somebody offends you, you say, go and do what? Make peace. That's what it says. If the person is not ready, take somebody along. If the person is not ready, take the church. Why? Protect your prayer altar. Don't let it to be polluted. It's a strategy of Satan. It's the wisdom of Satan. Do I have deacons in the house? Is there a deacon in this house? One? Any other deacon? Two? Three? You know what I call deacons in my church? I call them the wisdom of God. Huh? In this scripture, when Satan came to pollute the atmosphere, you know what they did? They raised up the kings to deal with that problem. And the apostles went on their business, praying. And what happened? The problem was resolved. If you read the next chapter, the Bible says, and the number of disciples multiplied. The revival continued because deacons were raised. Those were God's wisdom to disarm the wisdom of Satan. Did you hear what I'm saying? Deacons, are you hearing me? Diaconate, are you hearing me? You should not be in the house and Satan have a field day. Because your ordination is the wisdom of God to disarm Satan's wisdom. There should be no wisdom from hell that you cannot be on top of it. That's why you were ordained. That's why you were called. Can I hear a big amen? A louder amen. So pray for your deacons and your deaconesses. Glory to God. Let's stop here. Let's stop here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I didn't even know. Glory. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up to God. Glory to Jesus. Pastor, forgive me. I told him yesterday that today I would love us to pray. My thinking was I'm going to finish around 1 hour and then we can have some time to pray. I didn't know. Maybe you pray at the course. You are opening up too much. And I kept praying. Praise God. All right. Can we just raise our hands to the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just thank the Lord? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the privilege is given to you as a leader in his house. Thank the Lord for the privilege is given to you as a leader in his house. Thank him for the responsibilities upon your shoulder. Thank you because there is enough resources of God to walk in this responsibility and to ensure that the house is serviced, to ensure that the house becomes the house of prayer. Thank God for this grace. That by the hand of God upon your life, you are going to do your utmost to ensure the house of God will remain the house of prayer. It shall not be dens or tears. Just thank God, thank God, thank God. In the name of Jesus. Precious Father, thank you for your people. Just raise your hands to the Lord with me. Precious Father, thank you for your people. Lord, we've looked into your word and we can see tremendous responsibilities on our shoulders. The Bible says, who is sufficient unto all these? And the Bible says, our God is our sufficiency. And so, Lord, I pray for your people today. Every grace that is needed, release into the life of your people. Every anointing that is needed, release into the life of your people. Every wisdom that is needed, release into the life of your people. Every unction, every in any dimension, release unto your people in the name of Jesus. From today, be on top of every satanic strategy. From today, receive the wisdom to disarm the wisdom of Satan. From today, let somebody's altar be serviced by your prayer. Let somebody's temple be serviced by your prayer. Receive grace to service your own altar. Be a watch person over the church. May God raise you as a watch person over the church. And every grace and unction of a watch person, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Every soul that God has committed into your hand to disciple, to nurture, to mentor, may you be a watch person over that soul. And may that person be a house of prayer indeed. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.